Well, we're back.
The Blackfoot Crossing, a historic site of the signing of Treaty Number 7, is of national and international historic and archaeological significance. I'm getting a little tongue-tied here today. With us today is Jack Royal. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing just great.
Welcome to Talking Travel.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
There's so much we can chat about, but why don't we start about let me see if I can get this pronunciation right.
Yeah.
You call it the Sitka? How do you say that word?
The Sitka.
Sitka, okay.
Sitka, yeah. And Sitka is actually the Sitka Nation.
Right.
And all that means, it's the Blackfoot word that means Blackfoot. It's the second largest in what we call the Blackfoot Confederacy.
Okay.
What it is that we've got four tribes. Right, one that actually goes into Montana.
Right.
And then we've got three tribes on the Canadian side, and the four make up what we call the Blackfoot Confederacy. So Siksika, the Blackfoot tribe,
okay.
And then we've got the Piikani and the Kainai, and then the Southern Piikani who are on the U.S. side.
Now, we refer to them as Native Americans in the States, but in Canada they have a different term. They call it First Nations people, I believe.
Yes, that's true.
Can you explain? I'm sure there's no difference, but in the terminology, can you explain to us somewhat how that came about?
Well, I guess that came about from just some clarification as to who we are. There was when Europeans settled in Canada, there was all types of names given to First Nations people,
right.
Within Canada. Aboriginals,
right.
Was one thing. Indians was another thing.
Right.
And then various other names that were given to other, what you would call tribes. So I'd say about 10 years ago, a lot of the First Nations people started taking back some of their identity, I guess. So one of the things that changed was, well, we need a generic term for what you would call Indian tribes or Native American Indians. We call First Nations. We needed a generic term to identify each other. So at that point in time, we were also called the Blackfoot Indian Reserve. We changed our name to Siksika because that's our native tongue, and Siksika is actually just a Blackfoot word for Blackfoot.
Now,
so it was just more terminology and identity, I guess, to further identify or clearly identify who we are and where we come from.
Now, in the Blackfoot Nation, in these three tribes, do they all speak different languages?
No, it's all one.
One language, but
yeah.
within the tribal group.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Now it's interesting In the word Indian, as they used here in the United States for years, I guess because of our movies, but in the Latin countries they use the term Indios, which is also a very interesting descriptive word.
I guess we identified Indians as people from India, I guess, or East Indians, and
so to just separate them.
When early settlers came, they were looking for India. They seen us and found and called us Indians. And then Aboriginal actually came from New Zealand. They have Aborigines.
Australia as well, I think.
In Australia,
But it was interesting because, growing up as a youngster, trying to understand the difference, as you say, between East India and Indians as we knew them, was a bit confusing. So it's interesting how the terms and the names evolve over many years.
Exactly, and that's basically what it is, an evolution into, taking back some identity more than anything.
Right. The tribes are occupying the hunting grounds on the Battle River and Red Deer River, as I understand it. And tell us a bit about that and also how that progressed over a period of time.
Well, I guess the Blackfoot Confederacy, which is the tribes again, traditionally occupied, the traditional lands occupied what we call basically the southern half of Alberta, Canada, and also extended into Montana, up to Yellowstone National Park and, or down to Yellowstone National Park and and up to the north, up to the Red Deer River, and east to the South Saskatchewan River, and then west to the Rocky Mountains. So it was quite a vast area that they had occupied traditionally, up until European settlement came along, and at that point in time, the tribes were broken into four, what we call Indian reserves here, or Indian Reserve.
Right.
And that's when they were split up, and one ended up in as I say, in Montana. One ended up in near Lethbridge, Alberta, and then one ended up near Fort McLeod, Alberta, and then there was six guys. We ended up near Calgary, Alberta.
And during the nomadic period, they were mainly buffalo hunters and warriors, I guess, huh?
Yes, and it was nomadic to a traditional territory. Like, I think when people think of nomadic, they think that we were, you know, running around all over the country looking for buffalo, but it was very, very complex, as a matter of fact. We were, the Blackfoot territory was a certain area, and people would just stay within that boundary, but it was a vast area. Like
right.
I say, it was, went into, Montana and, you know, part of Wyoming and then into, Saskatchewan and Alberta on this side. So it was nomadic, but it was within a certain territory.
And of course the other name that, comes to mind during those periods was the Cree, which is a very well known tribe.
Yeah.
And I guess
you were further north of us.
Right. And you weren't the best of friends, as I understand it.
Well, traditionally they were our enemy,
right.
But so were a lot of other, you know, it was defending your territory, more or less.
Right.
And the Blackfoot territory was, as I mentioned, that area that I spoke of, and we were surrounded by Crees to the north and Sioux to the sort of southeast, and basically we had the Rocky Mountains. So.
In 1877, the Treaty Number 7 was signed. Tell us what effect that had.
Well, up until that point, I guess this was still, on the Canadian side, it was still a wide open space that was occupied by the Blackfoot Confederacy. And in 1877, we actually signed a treaty with the Canadian government. The primary signatory for that treaty was Chief Crowfoot, who was actually the chief of Siksika at the time. And basically what happened was, it was at that point in time, Canada wasn't fully formed. We didn't have the provinces of Alberta, and we didn't have the provinces of British Columbia. And at that time, the Canadian National Railroad was trying to come through to build a Trans-Canada Railway from one end of the ocean to the other, from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and it had stopped in, basically, when it reached Blackfoot territory, because they didn't want to proceed with building the railroad through. So the treaty was pretty significant for a number of reasons. It you know, for one, it opened up to allow for the railroad to come through, and as such, it allowed for the lot of settlers to come through. And it opened up kind of the, what we call Western Canada, Alberta and BC, to enter into Confederacy, which basically means that they were allowed to become provinces now and allowed to join the Confederacy of Canada.
Yeah. Okay.
It also, I guess on our side, it also became the catalyst which allowed for Indian reserves here in Canada, which is how we were basically split up at that point in time.
Now, tell us about the Blackfoot Crossing, which is the historic site of the signing of Treaty Number 7.
Well, Blackfoot Crossing is basically a 6-square-mile park that's built within the Siksika Nation, or Siksika Indian Reserve, as you might refer to it. And it's a nationally designated historical site because of the significance of not only the treaty, but other significant things within the park, which I'll mention. And it's also being recommended as a World Heritage Site. And it's significant because of, you know, as I said, it allowed for the signing of Treaty Number 7. It was actually the actual place where the treaty was signed. which sits within the reserve, and also it was it has a number of significant sites within the park. The land itself has never been disturbed. It's never been expropriated or commercialized or used for anything. It's been left as it's been for since time immemorial.
And the concept is that of a meeting place and storytelling.
Yeah, see, the reason why they called it Blackfoot Crossing was because it was a corridor. It was a transportation corridor that was used by the Blackfoot Confederacy or Blackfoot people since time immemorial. But also, as time progressed, it was also used as a corridor by the Northwest Mounted Police, the Hudson's Bay Companies, or the early settlers for the Crown or the Queen. Within the park, we've got many important sites. We've got what we call a fortified village, which is it's been carbon dated at 300 years old. A village that that's never been disturbed. It's actually now underground. That we're planning to do archaeological digs on, and we're currently doing an archaeological assessment on. But it's got a lot of battlegrounds within the site, and a lot of burial grounds and things of that nature, and a lot of culturally significant areas to the Siksika people.
Jack, we've got to go, and I thank you very much. It's a very, very interesting and informative chat we've had, and I'm sure our audience has enjoyed it. Hope we'll be talking to you all soon. In fact, I think Bob Fisher is doing an article and going to have another interview with someone from your group. So we thank you very much, and bye for now.
Well, thank you.